You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Recorded in Chicago, Illinois, with your hosts, Ken, Matt, Neil, and Jeff, this is Triviality.
Hello and welcome to Triviality, the game where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge. My name is Neil, and I don't care if Monday's blue, Tuesday's gray, and Wednesday too. Thursday, I don't care about you. It's Friday. I'm in love, and that is because it is Bloodsport Season 3. Thank you to The Cure for officially recognizing Triviality as your favorite trivia podcast. Please don't quote me on that, because I don't think we have enough counsel in our background to help fight that if they come after us. But thank you, The Cure, for all the support. Today is going to be Episode 5 of Bloodsport. Last week was our first international competition in Australia and New Zealand, and today we are going across the pond to the UK and Europe to meet competitors from Scotland, Ireland, the Netherlands, and Italy by way of the United States, which we'll explain in just a minute. Congratulations to Jay, Brian, Kylie, Matt, Eric, Jeannie, Frankie, and Mara for moving on. But today is all about the UK and Europe, and I'm excited to throw it to myself at the foot of the arena to join Ryan Myers in another competition of Bloodsport. Take it away, Neil. All right, it's time to enter the arena, and we are super excited to have our first pair of competitors from the UK/Europe sector. And starting with our first competitor coming to us from Tipperary, Ireland, Paul Lawler. How are you, Paul?
I'm good, lads. How are you? Long time no see, but good to see you.
We're doing great over here. For anyone who maybe hasn't heard your episode before, why don't you remind us a little bit about yourself and how you feel stepping into the Bloodsport arena for a bare-knuckled brawl?
Oh, I mean, I was nervous that time when I was doing the episode and I had, Jeff by my side. Now it's a free-for-all one-on-one with Willem. Don't know what way it's going to go, but look, I'm excited and nervous. A little bit about me. I'm a field service engineer, travel length and breadth of Ireland, fixing medical device machines. So busy on the road all the time. And I always have headphones on listening to either Triviality or some sort of trivia podcast or a D&D podcast or something. So, got to get them in.
Well, we very much appreciate you being here. We hope that you won't need to access any of those medical devices for yourself and shock yourself back awake or anything like that after your fight. But we're so happy to have you here to represent Ireland in this UK and Europe sector. And coming to us all the way from Groningen, Netherlands. I think I butchered that, but we'll see what he says. Our friend Willem van Vendeloo, the original OG Dutch boy, the real Dutch boy, is standing up right now. How are you, Willem?
Oh. I'm fine. Thanks for having me, guys. Yeah, how are you?
Doing great. Remind folks at home what you're up to over in the Netherlands.
Well, like you said, I'm Willem. I'm from the Netherlands. I work in IT for the Dutch government, mostly for a project that has recently been cancelled. So I might be switching projects pretty soon. Those talks are on their way now. So I might have a different kind of job in about a year.
Well, we hope it's a smooth transition, whatever it is, and that the government doesn't, put any, I don't want to say hits out on you, because we don't want the government listening to this, but this is Bloodsport, so hopefully it'll be a fist fight.
Yeah, we'll see who wins, the strong arm of the Dutch government or my weak body.
Well, we appreciate you being here, Willem and Paul, but we need a host, as we always do. This is episode 5. So you've heard a lot of competitors come up to the arena and just get, for lack of a better term, their asses handed to them. And it's because, as our host will tell you, it's not fun sport. It's blood sport. Ryan Myers, thank you for joining us again for episode 5. How are you feeling today? Muscles still lean and mean?
They're very sore and very tired, for I am just a feeble Midwestern American, but I'm doing my best.
Well, we're happy to have you here, Kansas, the finest host in person that we could think of. So I'm just going to be quiet now. I'm just going to kind of go into the shadows here with the ring bell. I'm going to ring it right now and give it to Ryan to let this competition start.
All right, boys, we are just keeping it simple for round one of Bloodsport. We're saving the complicated formats for later. We're just going to do a quick game of 12 questions across various categories to test your knowledge of things. Question number one, which geographical region has long been debated and fought over by the nations of China, Pakistan, and India? Led Zeppelin fans may have a leg up on this question.
John Blank here. First thing that's come to me is Taiwan. Yeah, no, I'll stick with it. It was the first thing that popped into my head, so I'll stick with it, Taiwan.
Go with your gut. And Willem?
Well, usually geography is my best subject, but I was kind of stuck until you mentioned the Led Zeppelin clue. That's when I locked in with Kashmir.
It is Kashmir, correct. Let's go to question number two. Let's go literary. What last name is shared by one of hard-boiled fiction's most famous detectives and one of Shakespeare's contemporaries?
This is one name popping into my head.
Yeah, same. I have only one name in my head, and I'll lock it in.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, Paul, what were you thinking?
Tracy.
And Willem?
I only wrote down Holmes.
It is Philip and Christopher Marlowe.
Great question.
Thank you. The Liam Neeson movie of the same name was highly mediocre.
I would expect nothing less.
Really, though. Number three, which legend of stage and screen might be best remembered for her roles as the First Lady on The West Wing and Rizzo in the 1978 film version of Grease?
I'm drawing a blank. I have nothing. I have to tap out.
I'm just going to throw a name out there because I can picture her. I can actually see her face and I cannot get her name. So I'm just going to say Streisand.
And Willem tapped out. It's Stockard Channing. Stockard Channing. Tony winner, Emmy winner, all around lovely person. Number four, let's go to science. What is the first name of the Austrian mathematician and physicist for whom the Doppler effect is named?
I'm locked in with a guess.
Well, I'm just running through some German names in my head, but Doppler. All right, I'll say Hans.
And Paul.
Henrik.
It's Christian. Christian Doppler.
And he said it. She's Christian name.
Tricky.
On the second time through. I did not intentionally mean to do that, so I'm glad that...
You hit it well, though, even though no one can see this at home, but you hit it well.
I'm a master of disguise. Okay, let's go to question number five. Frames hang empty in the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum because after a major heist there, Gardner's will expressly stated things were to remain untouched no matter what. In which major U.S. city would you find this art museum?
Boston.
That's what I said as well. Boston.
It is Boston. That is correct.
I just thought of the movie The Town, and I know it wasn't an art heist. I was like, what's a city famous for people robbing things?
Well, there you go.
I watched it. I'm not sure. I think it was a Netflix series about a heist in the Boston Museum. I'm not sure if it's the same.
I think it is.
Okay.
Yeah. Paul, that's
the one.
Paul, what did you think of Pete Postlewaite's version of an Irish gangster in The Town?
He was good. I think it was a good role for him, you know?
Yeah. He terrified me, so.
I like Pete Postlewaite.
Yep.
He's one of the very best. He should have won. He should have beat Tommy Lee Jones for The Fugitive. I'll die on that hill. It's a dog.
Oh. Yeah, I've got a guest here.
It's just a baby.
She's not helping me, I swear.
Okay, let's do question number six. What is the medical term for the fear of water? This word is a combination of Greek and Latin words to differentiate it from an archaic word for rabies.
I think about two things, either aquaphobia or hydrophobia. So it's basically a toss-up. I'll go with hydrophobia for no particular reason.
I think I might be getting it confused with a fear of deep water, but I think thalassophobia.
Well, thalassophobia is the fear of the sea. And Willem, you were there, but you chose the wrong one. It's aquaphobia is the combo of Latin and Greek, because hydrophobia is an old-timey word for rabies. And they didn't want to
I thought aquaphobia was too on the nose. I was like, Nope. Go ahead.
You good job on thalassophobia. There's too much underneath the water. I don't like that. Hey, Neil, how we doing?
We're doing great over here, and I will say for the record, none of us in the studio here suffer from Ted Lasso phobia because we love the show, but that was a very close answer on that final question, number 6, and the scores are low, but they're very close, so it is 1 for Paul and 2 for Willem. Anybody's game.
It's really going to be fun when we get to the later rounds and there's a lot more easily accessible questions in each episode. Let's do number 7. Parabellum, a Latin word for prepare for war, and a firearms cartridge designed for a Luger pistol, is a word found in the title of a film in which series?
Is it a movie series or a TV series? Did you specify that?
I said film.
Okay. Well, film is one of my weak categories. So now I just have to think of a film series that features probably guns. I'll say John Wick.
And Paul.
John Wick.
Is it John Wick?
It's the third John Wick movie. Oh, absolutely. John Wick, chapter 3.
Good pull. Oh, thanks.
You thought that one through. You know how to parse a question. Hey, let's do number 8. Which best-selling album of the 1990s contained the songs Rock This Country, From This Moment On, and I'm Holding On to Love to Save My Life?
I'll lock in with a guess.
All right, Willem, you're free to talk it out.
I'll go with, I think it's Shania Twain, but I'm not sure about the album title, so just go Shania Twain.
Good old eponymous album.
Exactly.
Paul?
I was literally going with an eponymous album as well, but I was going to say Whitney Houston. So,
it is Shania Twain, but the album is Come On Over, which is the best-selling album worldwide of the entire 90s.
Wow, I did not know that.
And the European dance remix of That Don't Impress Me Much is better than the country version. It's also like much less heavy on like the early 90s Eurodance than you'd expect. But question number 9. What is the word in Korean for what are called Korean chili peppers in the U.S.? This word also begins the name of that fermented red paste frequently used in Korean cooking.
I know no Korean. I should have watched Squid Game without the subtitles. I just say bao.
Bao. And Willem?
I lucked in with a more Middle Eastern red chili paste, harissa.
Harissa is very good. No, this is gochu, G-O-C-H-U, as in gochugaru or gochujang, which is a fermented paste. Hey, number 10. Malcolm X, Julia Gillard, Mary Queen of Scots, Vincent van Gogh, and Winston Churchill are all noted historical figures that share what distinctive trait in common?
Well, I'll lock in with a guess.
Well, I know Vincent van Gogh was a troubled man, but I can't say that really for the other persons you mentioned. I'll wager a guess and say that they were all left-handed.
And Paul?
Well, first thing came to mind is because of Vincent van Gogh and Queen of Scots was like, oh, redheads. Malcolm X is not a redhead. So I came to heterochromia.
Paul, they're all redheads.
Oh.
Malcolm X had red hair very blatantly, but you only ever get to see black and white photos of him.
Oh.
Julia Gillard's the former Australian PM, and Winston Churchill, again, only black and white photos, but all red hair.
And a lot of photos of him late in life when he had very little hair.
Well, no, he just replaced his hair with a hat.
Yeah.
I was in the same wavelength as you, Paul. I silently said, heterochromia, oh, maybe they're all redheads. No, they can't be with Malcolm X, but yeah, what a shocker. That's great. Mm-hmm.
Viola Davis, redhead too. All right, question 11. Cher and the Kardashian family have both made noted trips over the years to which country to find their roots. Her father, Cher's father, John Sarkisian, gave her these roots.
Ryan, did you say it was the father's name? Was it John or Jean?
John, traditional English J-O-H-N.
First thing that came to head was something Nordic, but Sarkeesian doesn't sound Nordic. I'm going to throw out England.
I know the ballpark is, I think it is near like the Georgia, Armenia, Azerbaijan area. I think Dua Lipa is from Armenia. So that's what I locked in with.
Dua Lipa is from Albania. Oh. But the correct answer is Armenia.
Oh, I've kind of locked into that answer then for no good.
Like
for
five,
no good reason.
5 years ago. 5 years ago, we had a big influx of Albanian emigre pop stars, Dua Lipa, Bebe Rexha,
Rita Ora,
Ava Max, and Rita Ora.
Yeah.
And they all have very short names.
Yeah.
Yeah, Armenia is correct. Okay, we're going to go to question number 12. Who founded X.com, like the letter X.com, back in 1999 and merged it with Confinity the following year to create PayPal? Again, who founded X.com back in 1999 and merged it with Confinity in 2000 to create PayPal?
Oh, lock in.
All right, Paul, what do you think?
Elon Musk.
And Willem?
My answer as well. PayPal is that the only person I know that that is behind PayPal is Elon Musk.
Yeah, it's Elon Musk is correct. Very well done.
Strong way to end this match here in our Bloodsport arena. And the scores were close, but there is a victor. Paul had three questions correct, but Willem is today's victor with five questions correct. So congratulations to Willem. Thank you for joining us today. We will see you in the next round representing the Netherlands in the UK and Europe sector. But Paul, unfortunately, your beautiful dog accidentally interrupted, tripped you, and you fell on a pit of spikes, and your head is no longer able to be used, but you're talking to us through a computer mechanism from the medical devices that you sell from time to time across Ireland. So how does it feel to have us let you go from Bloodsport? But we also appreciate you being here.
Yeah, look, thanks for having me on. Ryan, great hosting. As always, I love Bloodsport. I think it's a great mix to throw into Triviality. Willem, great game. Some good pulls, you know, well thought out. It's not exactly rapid fire, but it's, you know, kind of short, questions and answers. But yeah, good win. Hopefully go on now and have a good run at the show.
It's a bittersweet victory, but thanks.
Well, Paul, you may not have won the battle, but you'll always have the memory of the body oil glistening on your skin. So please take that with you. And Ryan, please get yourself a protein bar because we are going to return everyone for game two in the UK and Europe sector in just a minute. Well, how about that? What a match between those two competitors. Right now, we're going to sweep up all the eyeballs and mop up all the blood so we can set the stage for the second match of the episode. But before we do that, we wanted to take a quick moment to remind you that this season of Bloodsport is brought to you by patreon.com/trivialitypodcast. If you aren't able to financially support us on Patreon, there are a ton of other ways you can help support us, starting with telling a friend about our show. If you'd like to make a one-time contribution, check out our Tee Public store for a shirt, a sticker, a tote bag, or more. If you want to say hello on social media, and we'll say hello back, give us a follow on Instagram and Twitter, @TrivialityPod. And if you'd like to meet a great group of like-minded listeners to talk about all things Triviality, such as playtesting upcoming games and asking questions for our monthly Ask Me Anything, known as The Crop Drop, join our Facebook group, The Crop, and our Discord channel today. The links are in the show notes. Now let's get back to the competition with match number two, following these brief messages.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. On our show, we help listeners like you make the most of your finances. I sit down with NerdWallet's team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. We answer your real-world money questions and break down the latest personal finance news. The nerds will give you the clarity you need by cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. We don't promote get-rich-quick schemes or hype unrealistic side hustles. Instead, we offer practical knowledge that you can apply in your everyday life. You'll learn about strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. And you'll walk away with the confidence you need to ensure that your money is always working as hard as you are. So turn to the nerds to answer your real-world money questions and get insights that can help you make the smartest financial decisions for your life. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to From Beneath the Hollywood Sign. If you love old movies, Hollywood history, or the golden age of filmmaking, you've come to the right place. This is the podcast that talks about amazing stories of Tinseltown from another era and fascinating conversations with writer-producer Steve Kubine and actress-writer Nan McNamara.
One particular argument, he ended up dislocating Ava's jaw. Ava, she was such a tough cookie. Rather than cry or scream or anything like that, she...
Or call the police.
I should have, exactly. What does she do? She takes an ashtray and she knocks him over the head and knocks him unconscious. That's how she fought back. She didn't know what to do, so she called Louis B. Mayer. I think I've killed Howard Hughes. What do I do?
Revisit a time when the pictures were still big and everyone was ready for their close-up. When you want Tyrone Power instead of Tom Hardy, Jennifer Jones instead of Jennifer Lawrence, or Robert Mitchum rather than Robert Pattinson, then From Beneath the Hollywood Sign is the gin joint for you.
Okay, we are back for our UK and Europe bracket, and this is going to be game two, the winner of which will be facing Willem van Vendelu in the next round from the Netherlands, our true Dutch boy, if you'd like to call him that. But let's introduce our contestants today. We're super excited to bring along a friend of the show from Dumfries, Scotland, Addie Lewis. How are you, Addie?
Hey, Noah. I'm good. Yeah, how are you?
Doing well. So nice to see you and the flag that's always draped across your shoulders when we get a chance to hang out in person. But for those that may not know you, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been on. I'm Addy. I work for local government by day. I'm a bit of a trivia obsessive by night. I'm in like a dozen different online quiz leagues. If you've ever seen the name No Better Social Distance in the Atlantic Ocean, that's was this team that I'm mostly in. Yeah, I just spend all my time on the internet doing trivia, mostly with Americans.
Well, thank you for being here. And if you ever get a chance to read some of Addie's questions, a brilliant trivia question writer as well. So thank you, Addie, for joining us. Our next competitor, I'll let him explain it. We have Rob Becker, and he signed up from Milan, Italy. So he is representing Italy in this sector, the UK-Europe sector, but currently is in Durham, North Carolina. How are you, Rob?
I'm doing fine. Yeah, that's my story. I just moved back to the States not too long ago after 8 years in Milan. I still work for an Italian company. So yeah, and get back there several times a year, hoping to get back there permanently again as soon as I can. Yeah, I love playing trivia. Don't do it as much as I should, but I've tended to surround myself with people who are really good at trivia in my life and just absorbed whatever I can from them. So looking forward to it.
That's a great strategy. Well, you have some great people with you today to hang out with, one of which is going to be our host back again to finish this sector, and that is Ryan. Ryan, are you ready for this?
I am. I'm also ready to go back to Milan. I was there 2 Januaries ago. I was there for a week, and it was delightful.
Well, I am too. I'm jealous that you will be going back to Italy pretty soon, but let's see what happens today. And then maybe, you know, depending on how things turn out, maybe we'll have a meetup in Italy with all four of us. So
oh, that would be amazing. Okay, folks, I just got 12 questions across various topics. Just easy prelim thing. No funny content or styles of questions yet. We'll start with question number one. What is the last name of the family who, in 1948, patented a new kind of water pump to help treat their son's rheumatoid arthritis? There are 8 factories in Europe dedicated to making their most famous product nowadays.
All right, I think I'm locked in.
Sure. Addie, you can talk aloud if you like.
Dear, yeah, this is not the start I wanted. I am struggling to think of it. Anything at all. I don't think I have anything at all on this. I can't think of anything relevant to say, anything relevant to give as an answer.
Okay, Rob?
Yeah, I didn't get anything on the water side of it, so I tried on the arthritis side of it, so I'm going to guess Bayer, maybe the aspirin.
In 1948, developing the first hydrotherapy pump was a guy named Candido Jacuzzi.
It's the Jacuzzi. Makes sense.
Of course it is, yes. I have heard the story.
Let's move on to number 2 and keep it on theme. Which man drowned in his own jacuzzi in 1995 and was later eulogized by Roger Ebert as, quote, a man who took popcorn as seriously as we take the movies?
I'll lock in.
This is exactly what I was fearing would happen. I would get on the show and know absolutely nothing. Once again, I really can't think of anything for this. I can't even think of a popcorn brand. I'm just going to have to pass on this, unfortunately. Again, I just can't think of anything here.
All right, Rob?
Sure, I'll just go with the first name I can think of in popcorn and guess Orville Redenbacher.
It is Orville Redenbacher for 1 point.
What a crazy fact.
What's funny is I just was like, let's write a question about him, and I saw he died in his own jacuzzi. I was like, well, that's...
I don't think he is anywhere... I mean, I've heard the name, but I don't think he's anywhere near as well known over here.
Oh, dang.
I've never seen products with that name on it. Like, I don't know if they're even here.
He's buttery. Question number 3. Which band that released their first album in the year 2000 contains Nicole Richie and Cameron Diaz's current husbands?
Doesn't seem to be a band atop Addy's list here from looking at you, Addy, that this isn't one of your favorites,
music
it looks like.
Is famously my worst subject. There's an episode of another podcast called Me Plus Music Equals Fail, which is like for me during the episode of Complete List. It's the train is just steadily veering off the tracks down the cliff.
I cannot think of who I'm supposed to be thinking of. I'm just gonna say Good Charlotte and go with that.
And Addy?
I'm just gonna go with some similar sort of type of band and say Fall Out Boy.
Somebody will be getting points. They're married to the Madden brothers from Good Charlotte.
Ah.
Oh wow, sorry for that.
No, it's all right.
I didn't think that was right.
Don't apologize. We just did the Canadian games today. You don't apologize. We have had enough.
All right.
let's go to question number 4. What is the term for processing animal hide to turn it into leather?
Walton.
Okay. I think it's tanning, so I'm going to say that.
And right. Addy?
I finally get a point. Yes, it's absolutely tanning.
It is tanning, yes.
I've achieved my goal of not getting 0. That was 5-1 goal going on to this.
Well, you've met that goal. Number 5. Murano, that's Murano. Murano is a series of islands in which city's lagoon. There are studios and museums there dedicated specifically to Murano glass, which you may recall from Spider-Man No Way Home.
Rob logged in first, so I'll just say that I've think the big glass making city I can think of is Venice, so I'm just going to say Venice.
And Rob?
Yep, Venice.
Yeah, I did not plan that. This is just the one that came up. It's Venice.
I'll take it. I don't mind.
The James Bond connection for me is the fact that the Venice glass making factory also shows up in Windraker.
Murano's like right. Awesome. Like, if you haven't been there, next time you go to Venice, go there.
The other
it's
thing
really,
that
really
Venice
fun.
Is known for, aside from canals and gondolas, is glass, basically.
Agreed.
Let's do number 6. Who was the leader of Hungary and Croatia for most of the second half of the 15th century? He had one of the world's most important libraries, which bore his name, until the Ottomans defeated him and took all the material to Istanbul.
I really should know this, because medieval history is the sort of thing I'm fairly strong one. The only Hungarian leader I can definitively name is the current one, I think he's the current one, Viktor Orban, which obviously is not right.
And who we do not like.
Yeah, I don't know who is. Yeah, he was absolutely one of the worst people going. I'm trying to think of the name, though, to think of someone who named the library. I really can't, so I'm just going to name an Eastern European name and just accept that it'll be wrong and just say Sigismund.
Sigismund and Rob.
That sounds kind of good, actually. I don't know. I feel like somewhere in the recesses of my brain, there's someone named Franz Joseph, and I'm just going to say that.
You're thinking of Franz Joseph Liszt, the composer?
No, it wasn't, no, but I guess that's probably where it is.
It's an emperor. No, it's Matthias Corvinus.
Corvinus, oh, okay. That's the Romanian name. Yeah,
Corvinus, the raven.
Yeah, I really should have known that.
I've played enough Civilization that I should have known that. So
yeah,
that's how we learn all our leaders.
The world films essentially Corvinus is essentially the progenitor of the main characters. It's implied he's the same one.
And Neil, how are we sitting halfway?
We're looking good halfway through the game. It's still anyone's game. It's 2 points for Addy, 4 for Rob. So still a lot of ground to cover with the final questions here.
Yes, it is. Question number 7. The oldest continuously running university in the Americas is the National University of San Marcos, located in which capital city that was originally founded under the name Ciudad de los Reyes?
Between a couple here. I mean, obviously it's not going to be Brasilia because obviously that was a new city founded in the late 20th century. I feel like it's probably obviously Ciudad de los Reyes, I mean, City of the Kings. It's going to be, I'm between Lima and Buenos Aires. I'm going to guess Buenos Aires.
That's my guess too.
Addy.
It's the
you got to stop doing this to yourself. It's Lima.
Oh, it's Lima. Darn it. Oh, no. Oh, I had it between, yeah, I was between the two, but I didn't have anything to
go back. Well, we've still got several questions left.
No.
Let's go to question number 8. 1971's Walkabout, 1992's Romper Stomper, and 2005's Rabbit Proof Fence are all regarded as some of the greatest movies ever made in which country?
Walked in.
So, I really don't know. I have no idea. And I'm going to make my guess based on presumptions and prejudices that might not be appreciated. And I'm going to just say Australia and go and leave it at that.
And Addie?
It's absolutely Australia. And the reason that I'm from knowing that it's the Rubber Fruit Bins is Australian is the fact that Walkabout is also the name of a chain of Australian-themed restaurants in the UK. Which is why, and they sell things like kangaroo burgers and things like that. So,
God. It is absolutely Australia, yes.
Of restaurants, most major cities here will have a walkabout in them.
Did not know that. I did learn in Italy there's a chain called Old Wild West, which is just the most stereotypical American place.
It's, I gotta say, I don't think we ever ate there, but the menu was so offensive that we just wouldn't eat there. So,
it's kind of funny.
Well, I'm sure there was a spittoon at every table, so you could spit out your food or your chew.
Yeah,
yeah, it's very.
There's something called Buffalo Grill in France too, which looks sort of like a mix between like a Chili's and a Fridays. But we also didn't try getting there. So,
what's more American than not deciding on something for your menu and having 18 different cuisines on it? Let's go to question 9. The hit 2011 meme Nyan Cat was a cat with what food item for a body? This cat also expelled rainbows as it flew.
I'm going to tentatively lock in.
Tentative lock in?
Okay. I literally have no idea. I have no idea what this is talking about. I think I'm too old these days for things like this, but I can't even start to think what it would be based on the end. Y-A-N, so I'm just going to guess what maybe could be cat-shaped, and I'm just going to say a hot dog.
Well, the reason why it's cat, why it's Nyan is because it's Japanese. It's just Japanese word. And I can picture it, sparkly blue background with sort of sparkles on it resembling stars, squeaky-voiced cat traveling across the screen with rainbows coming out its rear. Unfortunately, the one bit of this I can't picture is the actual cat's body itself. So I'm guessing donut.
Very close. It's a Pop-Tart.
Ah, Pop-Tart.
Oh. It's a frosted Pop-Tart. Yeah.
Square rectangle. I knew that shape didn't quite make sense, but yeah.
Let's go to question number 10 on something Addy's going to lock into about 8 words in. What is the name of the code by which all samurai subscribed in feudal Japan?
Oh, locked in.
It is sometimes compared and contrasted with European ideals of chivalry.
Yeah, I should know this. At some point, I've definitely heard this. All right, I'm just going to say something that I've heard before, and I think in this context, but maybe it's wrong, and say Bushido.
And Addie?
Well, factually, this question is completely incorrect, I have to say. I don't know if, Ryan, if you're actually aware of this, but Bushido is not a real thing. Didn't actually exist. Samurai didn't adhere to it. It is a 19th century invention. I could rant about this for so long, but basically,
I would be interested in that, because that's cool.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you were genuinely aware of it. So basically, Bushido, the short version is that Bushido was basically a 19th century reinvention from around the Meiji Restoration, which is basically when the samurai evolved into a sort of aristocratic class, and then the masses rose up in the Industrial Revolution and reasserted imperial authority. The samurai knew they were becoming irrelevant, and so basically rewrote their own history to make themselves seem still relevant and retroactively changed a lot of stuff. And the idea that they were these noble warriors inspired by God who had this divine right to rule was part of that. And so that's where the Bushido Code actually came from. But Bushido is still the answer to the question. I'll need to give...
Yeah, no, that's fascinating. I did not know that at all. You're both correct. You get your points, but I had no idea.
I'm only
talking
about
cool.
this in the future, because it's a fascinating... But I have a tendency sometimes to go on angry rants when I see Bushido questions.
Talk to the folks over at Misinformation. Do an episode on that. You'd crush.
I have done an episode of Misinformation on the three founding on the three unifiers of Japan. Essentially Japan from 1560 to 1600. So check that out.
Okay, that's pretty incredible though. I did mine on figure skating. Let's go to number 11. If you remove the penultimate letter from the name of the capital city of St. Vincent and the Grenadines, you now have the capital city of which country that's not too far from there?
Oh, I know my capital cities generally, but the Caribbean is a bit of a blind spot. I could spend so long trying to think about this. We're looking for the name of the second country.
Yes.
I'm going to guess Jamaica and hope it's Kingstown and Kingston, because that's the best I have.
And Rob?
That's what I think it is. So I think the answer is Jamaica as well.
It's exactly that. Kingstown and Kingston.
None of the others really like made sense for having a second letter you could randomly take out. There are a lot of them are like names, yeah. Or named after saints or kings or
exactly.
Or things like that.
I knew for sure there was a Kingstown, but I didn't know that it was St. Vincent and the Grenadines. Like, I figured it was
all the lesser and Tully start to run together.
Yeah.
Like St. Lucia is Castries, for example. You could just take the E out of there and
Castries
isn't. Yeah, so.
Okay, let's do number 12. What is the term given to the increase of radiation when it travels? This name is specifically in reference to its adventure along the spectrum of visible light, theoretically.
Yeah, I tend to pass sciencey type stuff to someone else in the team, usually Rowan. To be fair, Rowan tends to cover the science angle for our team's questions.
You and me both, Eddie. That's what Jeff's here for.
Yeah. I can't think of this one, unfortunately, and it's not going to make a difference to score anyway at this point. So yeah, I'm just gonna pass on this one. Unfortunately, I just don't know this one.
I don't know either. I just was like, what could it be, maybe? And so I just said shading, and that's it. But I don't know.
Well, since it's moving more intensely wavelength-wise along the spectrum of visible light, this is called redshift.
Oh, okay.
Redshift.
Term of hammer.
I've heard of that.
That's going to do it for us here with this second game of the UK-Europe branch. 2 points is all that separated both competitors for most of the game. It was really back and forth. A few missed opportunities, 50-50 coin flips here and there. But unfortunately, Addy attempted to do Jean-Claude Van Damme's famous and iconic splits. But when he did, he accidentally did the splits on an uneven area of ground and slid all the way down into a pit full of alligators. And we'll lose today's match. But Addy, we appreciate you performing valiantly today and being part of the competition.
No, thank you very much. Yeah, great to be on. I scored enough points. I'm happy enough with that. Obviously not enough to regress, but enough that I didn't embarrass myself. Congratulations, Rob. You played very, very well. And wish you the best luck in the competition. It'd be great to have lost to the finalist or the winner.
No, that I think that would be great. And Eddie, anything you'd like to plug or anything before we let you go today?
Not specifically, really. I can think of, I probably should have thought about this before I came on, but just be excellent to each other. There's still not enough niceness in the world. Be nice to creative people, be nice to people who write, who screenwriters. You know, full support for the screenwriters who are on strike there, and when they're on strike for a very good reason, because they are low-level creative people who do excellent work, who write the screenplays for the products that we enjoy. Neil, yourself, obviously, you know that world. Support the creative people in your life, because we can get the creative products we enjoy without the people who actually do the writing for them.
Well, a beautiful message, Eddie. Thank you for saying that. And we totally agree over here. And Rob, we will see you in the next round. You're going to be performing or competing against Willem van Vendeloo from the Netherlands. Brilliant. So it's going to be an Italy/US versus Netherlands battle to see who will represent the UK Europe in
The dream.
That's the dream, yeah. So we'll see what happens, and make sure you get all oiled up, Rob, for that next match.
We wouldn't want that, but it's okay.
Well, Ryan, you do have a little bit of a rest here until next week's episodes, which we are excited for. But before we go, as always, we'd love to thank our network, Airwave Media. You can go to airwavemedia.com to check out a bunch of the other great shows that they produce, like Earn and Invest, The Projection Booth, and the Unbiased Science Podcast. See everyone next week on another episode of Bloodsport.